In last week's message before Thanksgiving Day, I mentioned that we only have Thanksgiving because of Bible-believing Christians, the pilgrims. They believed in the Bible and were prepared to risk everything for what they believe. So it's important what it is that you do believe. And so we have each week an affirmation of our faith, a statement of what we believe. And this one comes, as they all do, come directly from God's Word. This one from John's Gospel, the first chapter, the first five verses with the 14th verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The reading of God's Word today is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 57. A little longer, so bear with me. Speaking of Mary and her cousin Elizabeth, and both of them pregnant, as Mary had already received the announcement from the angel Gabriel that she would bear a son. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. At Daleville Christian Church this Christmas, we want to be sure that we are celebrating Jesus' birthday. And you might be saying to yourself, duh, of course we are celebrating Jesus' birthday. Well, friends, I am hoping that you know that you are celebrating Jesus' birthday. I hope that you know that we at Daleville Christian Church are celebrating Jesus' birthday. But what about everyone else out there? What about even other Christians, especially those who might only show up at a Christmas Eve service? There was a statistic I read recently that over 60% of the American population feels that attendance at a worship service is a part of Christmas. Good. Great. That's fine. The question is, do they know that it is Christmas, the celebration of the birth of our Savior? It was a very popular song in the 1980s, put together as a fundraiser for third world nations, and the song was, "Do They Know It's Christmas Time in Africa?" But today the question is, in America, do they know what Christmas is? Or do they in America today know what Christmas was about? I mentioned for Thanksgiving that no one is going to tell the Christians' story except Christians. The Pilgrims were Bible-believing Christians. The story of Thanksgiving is a Christian's truth. Christmas is also a Christian's truth. In the holiday animated Christmas special, A Charlie Brown Christmas, longtime follower of Jesus, the late cartoonist Charles Schulz in 1965, didn't think people knew what Christmas was originally about. And so in his program has the character Linus answer the question, "Does anyone know what Christmas is all about?" And answers the question with a reading from the Gospel of Luke on the birth of Jesus. How did that happen? Because Charles Schulz was a Christian and knew that if he and his program did not proclaim the meaning of Christmas, no one else was going to. So this Christmas at Daleville Christian Church, we are celebrating the birth of the Savior, Jesus the Messiah, the Christ. So today, the first Sunday in Advent, the beginning of what many call the Christmas season, today we simply proclaim that Jesus was born. Why, you may ask? Must we belabor a fairly obvious point? Well, I'm glad you asked. There are several reasons why we must make clear that Jesus was born. First and foremost, Jesus actually lived on earth. I don't know if anyone knows when that question came up for doubt, but certainly in the 20th century and perhaps before. The doubts are fairly simplistic. There is no historical recording of Jesus' birth. That is correct. There isn't. I used to like to joke with people that I had a copy of Jesus' senior class picture. And of course, that is a joke since photography didn't exist back then. And neither did a lot of record keeping exist back then like it exists in the 21st century. But there are plenty of other writings that point to Jesus' earthly existence, and this brings us to another boring but important point. So bear with me. We, you and I, modern people, believe in the truth of the written word. That has not always been so true. Centuries ago, people did not accept the written word because they didn't know who might have written it. But if people know you and talk to you, they can believe what you say. They can know that your word is trustworthy or not, and act accordingly. So it wouldn't have been as important to say in the ancient world that it is written down. It would be more important to say, I can believe this because a guy I know well told it to me. Or this happened because this man was there when it happened. Eyewitness accounts. Some scholars have suggested that the Gospels were only finally written down when the eyewitnesses, the apostles, were dying off. Very soon, no one would be left to give an eyewitness account of Jesus. And so, the Gospel writer Luke begins his Gospel saying he's going to give an account of the things we have seen and heard among us. This is what his gospel will share. The things we have seen and heard among us. So Jesus was born and lived on the earth as a man. Again, you may ask, why do we have to state the obvious? Well, in part, we have to state that because we also claim that Jesus was God. Jesus himself said, I and the Heavenly Father are one. Is that six times and more in John's Gospel, but I refer you especially to John 10, verse 30. This is one truth that Jesus' own people had trouble with, the idea that is called formally the incarnation. The Jews had trouble accepting that God comes to earth as a human being. The Jews had trouble accepting that God would allow himself to be killed through crucifixion. These ideas were unacceptable to many Jews. The Romans and Greeks, on the other hand, would accept that the gods came down to earth disguised as human beings. It even happened to the apostles once. We're told in the book of Acts, in chapter 14, a crowd were prepared to believe that two of the apostles were gods who had come to earth disguised as human beings. And that's exactly why the Bible, and we make clear, that Jesus was born a man. Jesus is not in a disguise of a man. Jesus is not wearing a human costume. Jesus really is a man. Jesus was God born of a woman. And that's why the Apostle Paul has to say that in Galatians 4:4. Jesus born of a woman. If he didn't say it, many Greeks and Romans would only agree that Jesus appeared as a man. But it wasn't an appearance. Jesus didn't come from heaven as a full adult. That's how Greeks and Romans thought. They had stories about the gods coming to them in the disguise and the appearance of humans. No, believers and followers of Jesus proclaim Jesus was fully a man and he was God, the Heavenly Father. And the church of the ancient world would hammer this out in detail for 400 years. And by the way, at the first meeting to hammer out that detail of teaching was a bishop from the churches of Myra in Asia Minor. We know him as Nicholas, or Saint Nicholas. He was at the first meeting. He believed that Jesus was God and man. So praise the Lord, Jesus was born. We have already established that there were no records of Jesus' birth. That's no big deal. There are no records for thousands of people whom we are certain were born in the ancient world. Oddly, only about Jesus does it seem to matter to some of the doubters. So, no records. So, when was Jesus born? Well, the Gospel of Luke tells us, right? Chapter 2, in the days of Caesar Augustus, when Quirinius was governor of Syria. See? Isn't that simple? Oh, you want to know the day and the month. Well, that information is not provided in Luke's Gospel. Besides, do you want Jewish calendar or Roman calendar? Or do you want a Syrian calendar? Maybe Persian or Greek calendar? Who knows when Jesus was born? God knows. Does it matter? Not as much as it matters of the fact that Jesus was born. Now, some people state that they know the day and hour they were born again. For some people, that is important. I cannot do that. I can tell you the date of my baptism, although I confess that I have to look it up. I don't carry that around in my head. It was November. But the date of my baptism is not as important to me as the fact that I was baptized. And gratefully, I remember it. I remember the day, I remember the water, I remember the stairs to the baptistry and my minister's voice, and the fact that my twin sister and I were baptized the same day. Which day? I told you, I don't have that information in my head. I have it on my heart. When was Jesus born? God knows. But Jesus was born. So how did we get December 25th? Well, some of the doubters like to say that the Pope decided on December 25th. Not exactly. By the time Christmas was being celebrated, there wasn't one Pope. There were several. None of them could make one decision like that and make everyone agree. Certainly some church leader did decide on December 25th, and hundreds of years later, most everyone else had adopted it. Then the churches split up and used two different calendars. Yes, it's very confusing. Those of us in the Latin tradition using Roman alphabet still celebrate December 25th as Christmas, the birth of Jesus. So if you would like to be exact, and I, as your pastor, tend that way, don't I? I celebrate Christmas as the birth of Jesus. I don't celebrate Christmas. I celebrate the birth of Jesus. I'm celebrating the birth of the Savior, which is to say, I am not claiming that December 25th is Jesus' birthday. I'm celebrating Jesus' birthday, but I don't claim that December 25th is Jesus' birthday. I know I get on my own nerves sometimes. You can ask my wife. Sometimes I annoy even myself. I blame my family of origin. But here is really the most important fact concerning Jesus' birth. Jesus' birth means that our God loves you. Our God loves you and me. Our God loves us. And God shows his love several ways because Jesus was born of a woman. Our Heavenly Father believes that you and I are worth redeeming. Our God, being born of a woman, believes that you and I are worth getting back into God's household. God wants you and I in his kingdom, and God has come in Jesus to get you and I back into God's household. And God loves us so much, he's willing to live with us and live like one of us. Our God is not up there somewhere. God has come to be right here with you, in the flesh. Our God isn't going to be just sympathetic with you. Our God is going to be empathetic with you. God's going to feel what you feel, including temptation. Our God is even going to experience getting tired. It's really one of the more astounding verses in the Bible, John 4, verse 6. Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. So if you've ever been tired, God knows what that is like. God decided he would get tired with you. God has felt that. Jesus wept to hear of his friend Lazarus's death. God in Christ has wept tears. Jesus has been with people who are chronically sick, people who have died, people who are crippled, and people who are rejected. Jesus gets it, as the young people say. Jesus totally gets it. God has come in his Son, Jesus, to live with you, live with us. The prophet gave him, the Messiah, a name, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God is with us. God was born of a woman in Jesus to get your hungry, tired, sick self back into God's household. God cares about us that much. There may not be any explaining why the God of heaven and earth is crazy about you and me, but clearly God is crazy about you and me. He loves us. And for some people, this is the most amazing part of God's love, that God is with us. But more than that, pastor and author Rick Warren points out, God is not only with us, God is for us. Realize that many people do not experience God that way. But Jesus came to declare that God is for us. More than once, Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" Do we skim over Jesus' words lightly when we recall at Jesus' table, when we have communion, "This is my body broken for you"? The Apostle Paul asked, "If God is for us, then who can be against us?" God is not only with us, Emmanuel, God is for us. Often we don't see that God is for us because God is for us more than we ourselves are for us. We don't take care of our health, but God came in Jesus to heal. God is more for us than we are. We are more ready, as people were in Jesus' own day, to say that God caused the blindness because of sin. The disciples mention that. We're more prepared to believe that instead of saying God wants to cure the blindness to bring us out of darkness into God's marvelous light. But that's what 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says. He's come to bring us into his marvelous light. Finally, this morning, I would remind you that God loves us, is with us, and God is for us, and God wants us to decide to receive him. I mentioned a few weeks ago that Jesus never barged in on anyone. God isn't going to barge in on you either. The risen Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and eat with them. Now, if God appeared to us in other ways than Jesus, the Bible, or as the Bible describes, would we open the door to him? If God appeared to you as a burning bush, would you run out the door toward the burning bush? And would you speak with the burning bush and listen to the bush and do what the bush wanted you to do? Jesus told a story wherein the man said, if a man raised from the dead would go to the man's brothers, they would all turn to God. And Jesus said, no, they wouldn't. Jesus said, the Bible is there for them. Moses and the prophets are there for them. But if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. One philosopher has suggested that if God appeared as a giant green bird, then what most of us would do is worship giant green birds instead of God. How can God have you accept what God wants to give you? It has to be in a way that people will accept God's gift. A baby born of a woman. Another friend put it this way. If you walk around with a $1,000 bill and try to give it to people, most, if not all people, will turn you down. They would assume that it's counterfeit, or they will assume you're up to something, or they assume it's not real. But if you went around and tried to give people a common $1 bill, plenty of people would go ahead and take your dollar. God wants to give you his love, but it would look to some people like that $1,000 bill. Too much. Can't be. Impossible. That never happens. But if God comes as a commoner, if God comes as that dollar bill, maybe people will take him. Maybe people will receive him. Will you? Will you receive all that the Lord wants for you? He has come as a baby born of woman. This Christmas, celebrate that Jesus is born. Amen.